This morning, the words come from Rising Appalachia. The creative forces behind the band are sisters Leah Song and Chloe Smith. They're community organizers, musicologists, musicians, activists, and they bring all of these identities and a world of musical influences, as you'll hear, into the band. I talked with Leah, and the first thing I asked her is, when you describe yourself, because you do all these different things, are you a musician first, an organizer, an activist? How do you describe who you are?
Really, really good question. That's something that has been unclear to us for a long time, and also something we take a lot of pride in. First and foremost, we consider ourselves artists, working and understanding the role of arts in community and the role of arts in justice, the role of arts in ancestral lineage and in impact and in family. And that title, I think if we were to give ourselves a title at all, felt the clearest. We grew up in a family full of the arts, visual arts and sculptural arts and poetry, and also environmental and human rights equity. Rising Appalachia has been this wide and wonderful platform where we have been able to flex a lot of those muscles and considered ourselves the sort of employees to the public good. Perhaps our biggest work right now in Rising Appalachia, and perhaps all of us as a culture, is to figure out how to come closer to each other again, how to find our commonalities as people, as citizens, as Americans, as artists, as Southerners, whatever it is, all of the millions of boxes, to figure out what we might have in common and uplift that. Part of the crisis of what's happening in American culture is that there is this divisive responsiveness where everyone thinks that everyone else is out to get them, no matter who you are and no matter where you come from. And I actually think we all come from ancestries and histories and lineages of incredibly complicated hardship and incredibly powerful beauty and traditions and medicine keeping. And there's no way to answer the question of the human story and the simple us against them.
It's interesting that you talk about commonalities, because one thing I love that you do is you identify strongly as Southern, but you introduce us to a broad range of Southern influences, African roots of Appalachian music, Irish roots. Is part of that a desire to show these common threads we have that maybe on the surface seem very disparate?
It's been so powerful to look into the history of music and the history of instruments. We have thousands of years of culture around the arts, and each one of us may come from a different bloodline or a different corner of the world, but every culture of people all around the world have tried to find their sensibility and their sense of the world through story, through music, through song. And once you start digging, you realize that there is a whole lot that we share in that, and many, many crossroads where all of these traditions and music and ancestry and craft making have come into contact with each other. And yes, stirring into the roots of the banjo and learning that its origin is in West Africa, which is where so much of the cultural origins have come. A lot of the Appalachian traditions have also tied into the story of the Irish migration and also our sort of modern diaspora of the Celtic Isles, that a lot of Middle Eastern music was tied very closely to a lot of the traditions in Italy, which is where the fiddle also came from. And it just becomes a wellspring of study and of inspiration and of cultural inheritance. And if you start digging in, the roots lead us all back into communion with each other in so many ways, at so many different eras.
Folklorists and musicologists have studied this, but there aren't many people who combine it all in their music, urban, African, Irish. How did you ever think we're going to just blend it all together?
You know, I don't think that was originally our intention. My sister and I grew up in just a very unusual family and a very unusual upbringing. We grew up in the urban South in downtown Atlanta. We were students of the public school system, which has a huge West African population, and a really large Cuban American population, a really big Mexican population. And so we grew up around a lot of different cultural stories. And then our family was very deeply involved in studying the Appalachian roots of American folk music. Our mother spent a ton of time in Western North Carolina and West Virginia and Alabama and Mississippi, learning all these traditional fiddle tunes. And she became sort of a back porch musicologist. And so that was the background of our upbringing. We had Duke Ellington records in the living room, and then we had fiddle and banjo tunes on the back porch. And then we went to urban inner city nightclubs on the weekends any chance we could as young teenage girls. So it was very honest to the template of our upbringing. That was all of the things that we were being raised by. We weren't trying to create some sort of a fusion sound that felt catchy or that might sell records or that was in fashion at the time. We were literally trying to interpret all the sounds that we had been immersed in and figuring out what our voice might sound like within that.
I want to talk now about one of your songs, Speak Out. How did Ani DeFranco come to sing with you on it?
She really also was an enormous influence to us, being a radical young punk rock artist, songwriter, righteous babe as she is, and bringing banjo in. I remember as a young woman hearing banjo music in her album and realizing, oh, it's not just my parents' generation that plays banjo, and finding a sense of empowerment in her work and being very influenced by it. We all lived in very close quarters in New Orleans. We didn't know each other then, but we were young buskers playing in the French Quarter and earning our keep, learning the folk and jazz scene down there. And she was recording and performing and basing her career there. And it was an amazing thing to cross paths with her in all kinds of different casual spaces. And always feeling really shy and really embarrassed and nervous to just fangirl out over her work. But when we put this album together, we worked with a producer that has worked with her in the past, and our sound engineer has been on her team before, and we met and had shared a few stages by then, and we said, you know, we have this song and it just feels very influenced by your work, and it would be amazing to have your voice on it. Your voice and your presence, and also your very deep, long-standing activism in this work. And she said yes.
When you sing Speak Out, Be Loud, are you singing specifically to women and girls who are often told not to be too loud, not to sound too angry?
You know, it's a really interesting question. Our audience is female heavy, and that's always been something that we're really proud of, to look out at the sea of beautiful women and just be like, yes. But it's super important, I think, to us. We have an incredible team of powerful men and boys in our camp, and we have a very close relationship to our father. And in the rise of empowering the female voice, we don't want to belittle the role of powerful, healthy, embodied masculinity. It's funny because we have that song that says, speak out and be loud. And then we have Resilient, which says, close your mouth and learn to listen. We often put those two songs close to each other on a set list, and we talk to the audience, you know, like both of these are important. Knowing when to close your mouth and listen, knowing when to get very full bodied and mouthy, knowing when it's important to give the microphone to folks who haven't historically had the microphone, communities of color, women, young folks, the elderly. Our music has never been just a black and white protest or a very clear proclamation about what we want people to do. We really try and write music that says, pay attention, find the nuance in your community, in your dialogue, in your partnership, in your work, and figure out how to make space when space is needed, how to lead with elegance when leadership is needed, how to take the backseat when backseat is needed. That's been complex and complicated, and we're not always able to hit the nail on the head, but that's what we want to evoke. Not that we have the answers or that anyone has the answers, but that we need to all be paying more attention.
Who are you? What have you become? What have you done to this beautiful kingdom? I don't want your guns, I don't want your poisons. I don't want your weapons and tools of mass distractions. I don't want your red flags. Don't want your baggage. I don't want your hate speech, your supremacy. Where are your wives? Where is your rough edge? Don't tell me you've traded it for comfort and privilege. I don't want your fast foods. I don't need to buy. I don't want your miles and miles of advertisement. I don't want it, no, no, no. So step up, speak out, show up, be loud. Step up, speak out, show up, be loud. Step up, speak out, show up, be loud. Step up, speak out, show up. Of mind or a piece of the pie. 9 to 5 living in a plastic empire. Where is the house for the wounded and homeless? Can't sleep on the streets, can't afford to own this. Everything is I need me, my busy working for the dollar while the well runs dry. Minimum wages, maximum security. Simple pleasure traded for business and authority. So step up, speak out, show up, be loud. Step up, speak out, show up, be loud. Step up, speak out, show up, be loud. Step up, speak out, show up, be loud.
Rising Appalachia with Ani DeFranco with Speak Out from their album Ley Lines. They'll be at the Safety Harbor Art and Music Center for 2 performances next Saturday and Sunday.